Welcome to HQAF Radio.
I'm Alana.
And this is a show about two best friends. All right. Welcome back, everyone, to HQAF Radio. I'm Alana, and I'm here today with my brother, Patrick.
Hello.
You may remember him from an earlier episode. I guess at this point, it's been about 3 or 4 months. We talked politics last time, and we're actually going to be doing a politics part two, because we feel like a lot has happened, and there's just a lot we need to catch you guys up on. I'm sure you're all following it closely, but what I like about kind of Patrick's point of view is that it's very, well-informed, well-educated, and, you know, very objective. Patrick just kind of states the facts as it is, and that's why I think he's sort of really great at giving us an update on election 2020. So first and foremost, let me just kind of bring you back up to speed, Patrick, where we left our audience off. I believe the last time we recorded, Biden had just, Super Tuesday had just happened. So Biden had kind of cleared the way and was the, Bernie was still kind of in the race, but, like, he had done really well, Super Tuesday. That was, I'm pretty sure we recorded, like, mid-March. So it was a very different world, a very different United States back then, would you say?
Oh, it was just sort of the beginning of coronavirus.
Right. So I guess kind of in, if it's even possible, how have things changed? Or should we talk about kind of what happened in the political race first, like sort of with the different candidates and when people, you know, how he went from being one of a two-man race to now being kind of leading the way? Or just talk coronavirus updates, or, like, where should we begin kind of in this journey? What would make the most sense?
I would just say what the state of the race is right now.
Yeah. Okay, cool. So let's start state of the race, and just to kind of put a timestamp on this, we are recording the day before July 4th. Happy July 4th weekend. We hope you're all staying safe and staying well. Okay, so yeah, let's start with right now and then do a flashback sort of situation. What is the state of the situation right now, Patrick? How's it looking?
Trump's in very dire straits. Everything that could have gone wrong in his reelection campaign has gone wrong. The one thing he had going for him was a good economy, and that has completely disappeared thanks to the coronavirus pandemic. On top of that, we have the worst civil unrest in half a century with the Black Lives Matter protests nationwide. And, of course, he has very poor merch for that as well. So given his dropping approval rating, he's now, I think, about 56% disapprove, 40% approve.
Oh, my God.
With coronavirus only getting worse again, unemployment, while jobs have returned with the partial reopenings that have gone on, is still at 11%, which is, like, higher than the peak of the Great Recession of 2009 and 2010 time frame. So unemployment is still at an all-time high. The pandemic seems to be getting worse rather than better, especially with these reopenings. And on top of that, there's just nationwide protests calling for police and law enforcement reform. And Trump is just sort of on the wrong side of all of these issues, polling-wise.
Yeah, and what is his stance on, or has he even taken one? I feel like he's very much sidestepped the whole police reform, law reform issue. If you could just give us a little bit of background, a little bit of color there.
I mean, he signed some executive order that was written by Van Jones from CNN, or he had some influence on it that sort of did nothing. It was just sort of a window dressing. But on top of that, he's made it very clear that he's against Black Lives Matter. He even called it a hate group, I think, a day or two earlier. And is very much on the side of police and law enforcement and keeping the status quo. He calls himself the quote-unquote law and order president, hearkening back to the Nixon campaign of 1968, which was the last time there was nationwide protests and riots, also concerning the status of African Americans in society. So he's trying to use a Nixonian Southern strategy to win re-election, but unfortunately that won't work because the states that he has to win in aren't all in the South.
Right. And also, can we just... I kind of want to talk about... And I'm sorry if I'm kind of jumping all over the place, but I'm just going to, you know, speak from the heart and do... And ask as the questions come up. So, with this situation right now, and I'm laughing just because I think it's just... It's so ridiculous how the stance that he's taking and the route that he's taking. And I just wanted to confirm with you, I've been reading, you know, reports and articles about how Trump just really isn't winning. Like, the only people he's winning with are his supporters, like his base, his deep supporters. But there is absolutely no one else that really aligns with him. Like, there, he has a lot more people that he needs to gain rather than, like, hold on to, essentially, like, in terms of voters.
His
right?
support is basically only the people that would support him, even if he was on the other side of the issue. About 40% of the country will support him regardless of what actions he takes because he's a Republican president.
Yeah.
So it doesn't really matter. So the fact that he's picking the side of the issue that is less popular is not good for his reelection bid.
Do you think he has any plans to change strategies on this, or no? Is he just so hell-bent on... Because wouldn't you, Patrick, if you were very clearly, obviously, losing a campaign, and your base is just not enough, isn't a large enough percentage of the country to win re-election, like, don't you think he... Is he planning on changing his strategy at all? Or, like, is he just planning on lying his way through? Keep in mind, by the way, folks, that just last week or the week before, you can correct me if I'm wrong, he said we should stop coronavirus testing so that the case numbers would go down. And he's been very, you know, a huge advocate of not wearing a mask until very recently, like the last 48 hours. Now he says, oh yeah, masks are great.
But he refuses to wear one himself.
Yeah. I'm just like wondering how he thinks he's going to win is my thing. Like, I don't understand the delusion. Does he just think he can lie his way to re-election? Because that's just not the case scientifically, realistically, right? Or does he think there's enough out there of, like, people that are blindly going to support him? But there's
I think
not,
the
though,
last
right?
couple months he sort of realized how long his odds are of winning re-election. I think he was kind of blind to it before, but then after the failed rally in Arizona, his dwindling polling numbers and just terrible coverage he's had in the news cycles, just from opening his mouth, I think it's finally dawning on him that his chances of being reelected are not good.
Do you think he's accepted it, like, emotionally or mentally, that there's a chance?
I think he's still wrestling with it. There was some rumors that he might even drop out if he really thought he had no chance of winning reelection, but I think that's probably just rumors.
Oh, really? You think he's too arrogant to do something? And he doesn't want to look like a pussy, but...
Yeah.
I don't know.
But I think there's a good portion of him deep down that realizes that there is no hope for his re-election.
And also, Patrick, so currently, points-wise, what are we talking between Biden and Trump?
It's been about a 10-point gap nationally, with Biden over 50% in most polls.
Wow.
People sort of naively say, well, Hillary was ahead in the polls, and then everybody got it wrong. But once we got past June, she never got over 50%, let alone even over 46%. Biden hasn't really dipped below 50%, or at least 49 or 48%. And the gap has been about anywhere from 6 to 10 points the entire time. So he's had a larger lead than Hillary Clinton ever did once the primaries are over. And not only by margin, but just being over 50%. It's hard to see how an incumbent can beat a challenger who's consistently over 50% for months with a 10-point gap.
And didn't you say that this is the largest lead of a candidate against an incumbent before in a political race? Like, this is just crazy.
I mean, the last time somebody was ahead this much was Jimmy Carter.
Oh, wow.
But even those polls closed up later into the race.
Mm-hmm.
But Biden's been very consistent with his lead and sort of been immune to the various minor gaffes he's had. Whereas Trump's approval rating is sort of correlated directly with his matchup polling with Biden.
Yeah. And do you think that once Biden announces who his VP is, which he has in the last couple of months already stated it's going to be a woman, very exciting, and I don't think he's made an official statement, but a lot of people are speculating or assuming it will be a woman of color, even more exciting. Do you think that this will only skyrocket then more his approval and his points ahead, like widening the gap essentially? Or will it maintain because we're that last like 40% are just blind Trump supporters?
It'll probably get a 1 to 2 point polling bounce for a week or two, and then it'll go back to status quo.
Oh, okay.
That's usually what happens after conventions. The party gets a polling bounce, then fizzles.
Yeah. And I would also like to call out that you were right. I recall that when we were recording the last episode, I said, oh, you know, how do you think this is going to affect Trump's support and his approval? I mean, I just can't imagine that he's really going to be setting himself up for a re-election in the fall. Like, can't, you know, I really wanted you to say that, no, Trump absolutely can't be re-elected, but it was too early on. And you said, well, it really just depends on how coronavirus plays out and how the plan goes. And I think since then, his leadership has shown to be terrible or lack thereof. And, has drastically impacted him as a candidate. I mean, so which do you think has hurt him more or really kind of sealed the coffin? Or I guess, let me back up. One, do you feel confident about Biden defeating Trump? Or like, what is the percentage compared to how you felt in March?
I'd probably give Biden anywhere from 75 to 85 odds of winning at this point.
Nice. Whereas in March it was...
March was like probably 55 or 60 at best.
Yeah. And so which of the various situations that are going on do you think has hurt Trump the most? Like, do you think it's just the overall coronavirus handling? Do you think it's, you know, the racial injustice and him just like really not doing anything about it? Also recently, just in the last week or so, there was that whole thing, I'd like your kind of take and what the situation is on that, about Russia paying a bounty to kill U.S. troops and Trump being briefed, but him saying, where did he land on that? Was he actually briefed or did he just not care? Because it wasn't even Congress. I'm not sure.
He keeps switching between saying he wasn't briefed to saying the entire thing is a hoax.
So, but what's, have we figured out the facts yet? Because they have records of all
basically,
this, right?
He was briefed on it and he's just lying as usual, so.
Wow. Yeah, just making up new truths and
so
whatnot.
Yeah, just another thing that'll be in the headlines and then go away.
Like things like that, or the photo op where he went and tear gassed a bunch of protesters just so he could hold a Bible upside down in front of a church. Like, which hurt him the most, do you think?
I don't really think any of these incidents really hurt him that much. I think it's just more of the status quo.
Really?
If you had to ask an economist, they'd probably say the poor jobs numbers is going to hurt him the most out of all the factors. But I think given the unique nature of coronavirus, that's probably going to have a larger impact.
Yeah.
They don't really have historical references to look at.
Yeah.
And rather cynically, I don't think the Black Lives Matter protest is actually going to be that large of an impact on the result of the election. I think it'll definitely help motivate more African American voters to turn out, as their turnout was lower than before in 2016.
Yeah.
But of course, you didn't have an African American president on the ballot like a Barack Obama was 4 years earlier. That lower turnout did seal Hillary Clinton's fate in states like Pennsylvania, where there's lower turnout, in Philadelphia, or in Michigan, where there's lower turnout in the Detroit areas.
Yeah. So what do you think Biden, for anyone out there who's worried about a, you know, Clinton-Trump 2016 situation where Clinton was up, although you were saying not by much, there was still, like, you know, more of a margin of error compared to Biden. But what do you think Biden has going for him as a candidate? There's a
number of factors that makes him different than Hillary Clinton.
Yeah.
If we just look at it from more objectively, he has a huge polling lead, and it's not just nationally, because, of course, you don't just win the presidency by winning the popular vote. He's ahead in every swing state. So he's ahead in Pennsylvania by about 6 or 7 points. He's ahead in Michigan anywhere from 9 to 12 points. Maybe eight to 10 points if we want to not, or weight the averages lower.
Mm-hmm.
Wisconsin is about 6 or 7 point lead. Arizona is probably about 3 or 4 point lead. Florida is about 6 or 7 point lead. North Carolina is about 3 or 4 point lead. So he's ahead in the 6 swing states, and he's competitive in Ohio. It looks like it's a dead heat there. That's a state that Trump won by, I believe, 8 or 9 points in 2016. He's competitive in Iowa, a state that Trump won by 10 points in 2016. He's competitive in Georgia, state the Democrats have not won since, I believe, 1996. Or maybe it was 92. It's either 92 or 96. I don't remember which one. Trump won that by 5 points. He's competitive in Texas, state that Trump won, I believe, by 9 points in 2016. That's a state the Democrats have not won, I believe, since 1964.
Whoa.
Or maybe Jimmy Carter won. I don't remember. In 1976. I don't remember.
Mm-hmm.
So not only is he winning on the swing states, he's cutting into Trump's lead in states that have been traditionally safe for Republicans. Either safe or, you know, likely Republicans.
And what do you think has been the most appealing characteristic of from Biden that people aren't getting from Trump? Or is it just really this idea, like, is it him as a candidate and what he brings to the table? Or is it really just people wanting anyone else other than Trump?
Polling data seems to suggest it really is just anyone other than Trump. That's how he got nominated in the first place.
Yeah.
Exit polling on Super Tuesday suggests that most voters, a plurality or a majority in some cases, preferred a candidate who could beat Trump over a candidate that aligned with their viewpoints.
Oh my God.
Bernie Sanders has largely looked at somebody who maybe they agreed with his viewpoints more, but they didn't think he could win, so they gave their support to Biden.
Yeah.
And when general election polling is conducted, they often ask how enthusiastic voters are to vote for their candidate. And Trump gets much higher enthusiasm points than Biden does.
Mm.
Double the factor in some cases.
Oh, wow.
But when they poll, how excited are you to vote against the other candidate, then Biden is crushing Trump in that.
Yeah.
So, yes, people might not be enthusiastic about voting for Biden, but they, as Ted Cruz said, will crawl over broken glass to vote against Trump.
Yeah. I mean, even you're seeing now some big-name Republicans are coming out and endorsing Biden and saying they're going to vote for him.
And there is an official Republicans for Joe Biden group. And many of, I think now, the George W. Bush people are coming to support Biden's campaign.
Wow. Is that new? Is that recent? I hadn't heard about that.
There's a bunch of people that worked for Bush that have come out of the woodworks to work on Biden's campaign.
Wow.
You got Carly Fiore in his endorsement last week. She was Ted Cruz's sort of long shot VP running mate as he was struggling against Trump in the primary in 2016.
Mm,
to try to reignite his campaign, but it had little effect.
Gotcha. Wow. Yeah, it's pretty just incredible to see how even his own party is like, please, get out. You are no longer welcome. I mean, I don't understand the Trump supporter. And I'm not trying to be a dick. I guess I want to say I don't understand the well-educated Trump supporter. Like, the uneducated, sure.
I'd say the actual, genuine, well-educated Trump supporter is probably wealthy and is only voting for him because he's better on taxes than a Democratic president would be.
Gotcha.
Biden has said he does want to raise taxes on the wealthy.
He has said.
That usually is what most Democrats are at least in support of if they don't actually do it.
Yeah.
Republicans tend to be for lowering taxes, so rich people just vote for them, even if they don't actually like them as people. They'll just do it because they're better for their checkbook.
Yeah, that makes sense. So while you and the polls and people are essentially saying, hey, I just want anyone else other than Trump, would you, Patrick, say that there are some qualities within Biden as a candidate that you do rather like? Like, would you say that he is a pretty good candidate, other than the fact that he's just not Trump?
Well, he doesn't lie every other sentence.
Yeah.
Or have very misinformed understandings of basic science and history. He's willing to accept the fact that he doesn't know everything.
Yeah.
And that is possible for somebody else to know something that he doesn't, or have an idea or opinion on something that is better informed than him.
Yeah, he won't be surrounding himself with yes men like Trump has.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that's sort of my thing. While, yes, Biden is someone other than Trump, I also feel like he comes to the position with a lot of experience, like, you know, and I also think that he is a genuinely kind person. I mean, I just don't know anyone that would want this job at this point in time, and the fact that he wants to lead this country in the midst of this is very honorable. And I like his backstory. I think he's just like a real down-to-earth guy, and I think he cares about the American people. I think that's something that Trump truly doesn't care. I mean, like, when you really get down to brass tacks, I think Trump just wanted to prove to someone, maybe his daddy or whatever, his wife, that he could do it, and he did, and I don't think he really, like, was quite prepared or ready for the job, and he still sort of isn't. And so, I don't know. I think there's a lot of reasons to really align, you know, with Biden. And you had said, too, that Biden is kind of killing it in certain demographics that previously, like, Democratic candidates had not done well with. Or even candidates in general, right? Like, he does pretty well. Did you say young people he does well with, or no?
Well, all Democrats do.
Oh, okay.
He didn't do so well earlier because they were kind of butthurt about Bernie Sanders, but they seem to have come around in later polls. About 2/3 of the youth say they're going to vote for him, about 20% for Trump. And then the remaining, what is that, 13% are either undecided or third party.
But also, he's polling well with old people, right?
He's polling well with seniors, and Democrats haven't won the senior vote in 20 years.
Oh, wow. So what are the stats on that? Like, what are we talking?
It's close. Biden's usually ahead 2 to 3, 4 points.
Mm-hmm.
But even if he just broke even, that's really good if you can cut into that, because that's been a solid bedrock of support for Republicans for years.
And what about women?
He's killing it with women. He's about a 25 to 30 point lead among women.
Nice.
Against Trump. Trump has a lead with men, but it's very small. It's about 5 or 6 points now. Trump won men in 2016, I think, by 15 to 20 points.
Oh, wow.
Over Hillary Clinton. That's not just because she's a woman. Republicans tend to win more men than Democrats, and Democrats tend to win more women than Republicans, but the fact that she was a woman helped, probably, somewhat.
Yeah. And, I mean, it's not hard to believe that Biden's doing better with women than Trump, because Trump is...
And even among white voters, Trump does lead among white voters, but it's narrowed down to only a couple of points.
Oh, really?
Trump won white voters, I think, by about 17 points in 2016.
Yeah. My biggest thing is just, I don't know, the things that he's done in the last 3-4 months. I forget, really, you know, time is hard to remember because it's been so long since we've been in quarantine. But just the things that he's done that have been so atrocious, like suggesting you should ingest disinfectant and I still go back to the photo op thing. I still can't believe he, you know, really won't take a stance on police reform. I don't know how in his mind he thinks he can still win. Right? Is it just if we all reopen? But now we're having the worst cases. I mean, can you give our folks at home kind of a snapshot of where we're at with coronavirus, just in terms of cases and states?
Well, it seemed like we were flattening the curve by the time June came around, and then everything started reopening, and now it's going up again.
And particularly...
So meanwhile, the rest of the world has gotten coronavirus under control and has greatly reduced their daily number of new cases, ours have started going up again.
Yeah.
And it really seems to lie largely with the fact that Americans kind of either got bored or complacent with the quarantine settings. And once everything reopened, they kind of just try to go back to their lives as normal. And because there's so many people refusing to wear masks, it's not really helping the situation.
What do you think, and I know this is sort of subjective, I should say, and you don't like to answer those questions, but what do you think finally convinced the Republicans to say, hey guys, wear a mask?
Probably polling numbers.
Polling numbers?
I would have to guess, yeah.
Oh, okay.
They have to save their own skin if they're up for re-election.
Oh, right, and which a lot of them are, correct,
in
November?
Entire House and a third of the Senate.
Oh, wow.
More Republican seats are up for grabs than Democrat seats this year.
Yeah. And what took them so long? It's just that, you know, they started seeing huge spikes.
They're always afraid of contradicting Trump because they don't want to get assassinated by him on Twitter.
Right. Yeah. Oh, my God. He's just... He's the worst. But anyway, so who are the what are the states right now that are the worst in terms of coronavirus cases?
I think like Texas, Florida, South Carolina,
Arizona?
Yeah.
Yeah.
They're all red states.
Yeah, which do you think that ties heavily with this politics in this case?
Yeah, because Republican governors wanted to end quarantine ASAP and reopen everything as quickly as possible to put the economy back on its proper footing. But, of course, to do that, it's just simply going to invite higher infection rates.
Yeah. When did masks become a political issue? Like, what was the root of that? Because, to me, it's a safety issue.
Political issue as soon as Trump would openly contradict basic scientific recommendations.
Wow.
And because Republicans have to always line up with everything he says rather than have their own brains, that means it essentially becomes a nationwide political issue rather than just an isolated incident.
Do you think that when Trump loses the election, and I'm very intentionally saying when and not if, there will be a revolution in the Republican Party? Do you think that the Republicans are really going to have to take a good long look at themselves and realize, wow, we just blindly followed the biggest idiot in the world for 3.5 years? We may need to like re-up our reputation a little bit.
Well, they had an autopsy after 2012, which is all about why they lost and how they needed to become more expansive and open up to Latinos and African Americans and Asians. And just generally become a more diverse party on both the issues and in representation.
Yeah.
And 2016 kind of flew right in the face of that and just doubled down on the whites.
Although Trump is doing well with Latinos, isn't he?
He's losing 2/3 of them, but he's not doing as badly as African Americans, where he's losing 90% of them, but every Republican loses 90% of them.
Yeah. I don't know. I would be ashamed. So people, who are the Republicans that are fine standing up against him? It's Mitt Romney and anyone else?
Not really. Mitt Romney's the only one that sort of openly defies him on a regular basis. There's others that have spoken up every now and then, but he's the only one who continues to be in complete defiance.
Oh, thank God for Mitt Romney.
And of course, you can judge that based on the impeachment vote, because that's when their conscience was really put to the test.
Do you think that this, that Bolton's book, which I think just came out, that has all of those various secrets, or I guess it's already come out, hasn't it?
It has, yeah.
Has that done anything with anyone? Or
maybe,
Trump is...
maybe it's still coming out, I don't remember.
Yeah.
When the release date was.
Has that done anything or will do anything
no,
to Trump?
No, I don't think it will.
Right.
I think it's just going to be more same old from the impeachment hearings, and it would have been much more useful if he gave it as testimony than wrote a book off of it.
Yeah. And delayed testify, or, you know, essentially tried to...
Essentially tried to make money off his testimony rather than just give it in defense.
Freaking terrible, man. He's... I don't know. And then we were actually, Patrick and I, a week or so ago, were watching him in a TV interview, and he wasn't endorsing Trump, but he wasn't endorsing Biden. He basically just wasn't endorsing anyone. But why is he afraid of sidestepping Trump? He doesn't, clearly doesn't care about Trump. He came out with this book, but it's just because he's a prominent Republican person, so he just needs to... Not, I don't know. I just don't understand this whole fear of, like, if we stand against Trump, we're standing against our party. Like, why don't we just stand against stupidities?
Trump, they earn his ire and his fury, and because Trump is so popular within the party, he'll go and prop up some primary challenger and cost them their seat.
Really? Oh, wow. This is actually news to me. I didn't actually know. Like, to me, I just thought it was stupidity, but...
No,
okay.
He'll go and he'll ruin their re-election prospects by helping give out his support to a primary challenger.
I didn't know Trump's word was, I don't know, that
it is. He has a Stalin-like cult of personality in the Republican Party.
Yeah. I do kind of feel like he's running things like a dictator. Do you get that sense?
Yeah, that's kind of the way it's always been.
Yeah, I guess it's nothing new. But I did want to ask you, and I know it's just a worry of mine, and it's not legal, but if when Trump loses in January, he can't refuse to leave, right? Like, he has to go.
I mean, he can try to refuse to leave, but his term expires on January 20th. And
he can't, like, write an executive order of some bullshit, because then that's dictatorship, right?
He can do whatever he wants, but on January 20th, Secret Service is going to drag him out because he'll be trespassing on White House property.
Yeah. Okay, good. And it's not going to be like, oh, they're just lying about the poll, the numbers, or, oh, all the votes were fraudulent.
I mean, I'm sure he can claim that, and I'm sure he can try to sue in the courts, but I don't think the courts are really going to be that interested in hearing him if he's losing by 4 to 5 points in these states. You don't get to do recount elections in those cases.
Gotcha, yeah. And, gosh. Oh, well, so here's another question. Just kind of based on where we're at with coronavirus in the United States, do you think that there's a possibility that everything will re-shut down? Like, back to lockdown, back to March, a second wave?
That's
or a second
in the states that have increasing cases.
Yeah. Because people aren't getting the picture, clearly, and so it's just going to have
people
to be, like...
People aren't complying with masks, and they're just trying to go back to normal.
Yeah.
Having a bunch of people piling up on the beach without masks is just a great recipe for disaster.
Yeah. And it would be really... So, and that would be bad for Trump, right? I mean...
Anytime coronavirus is bad, it's just bad for him.
Yeah.
Being an incumbent means that everything that's bad is your fault.
Even though he takes no responsibility
as he says.
Yeah, but he still
it
is.
It doesn't matter when you're running for re-election. You have to run on what happened when you were president.
Yep.
And people ask the basic question is, Ronald Reagan famously put in his ad, are you better off than you were 4 years ago? And I think most people definitively say no.
Yeah. Oh my God. Jeez. And I just love, Biden's ads. I mean, I guess because they just write themselves. Trump just speaks, and then there you go. There's a new fucking ad right there, huh? Biden doesn't really have to work this election.
No, Biden's running the most restrained, low-key election campaign and he's killing it.
Oh, my man. Thank God.
He hasn't had a single rally, I think, since before... Like, since Super Tuesday, I think, was the last time he had an in-person rally.
Yeah.
Or maybe it was, you know, the week after that. All he's had at best are press conferences with, you know, a handful of reporters spread 6 feet apart from each other. And that's it. But all it does is just making him look like he's the president because he's the one addressing it and trying to maintain the calm, whereas Trump is kind of waffling about and either pointing to various conspiracy theories or suggesting that we have to end testing to lower test results or just yeah. otherwise trying to strawman attack Biden, distract from the great failure that is his own presidency.
I know. Do you think he could possibly go down in history as the worst president ever?
I think most historians would probably agree with that.
Yeah.
I think it's hard to argue that anyone's worse at this point.
Yeah.
And I know everyone says that about the current president, but that's just objectively true in this case.
I just really think, yeah, now that we're...
We've never had a president that would profusely lie this often about things that even aren't of any circumstance. The fact that he has to lie about the shape of a weather map because he accidentally said Alabama instead of Florida. Or he simply could have simply said, my bad, I said it. I didn't mean to say that. It just goes to show the level of narcissism and arrogance that he would go to redrawing a map to cover up his own mistake.
What happened?
Well, you remember this, don't you? When there was the... This was a year or two ago. There was a hurricane that was going to hit Florida, and he said Alabama would be affected, but then Noah said, no, it's not going to happen.
Yeah.
And so to cover his own ass, he took a weather map with presumably a Sharpie and just drew the cone of probability to be larger and cover up Alabama. It said, see, no, I was right. It is going to affect Alabama. So rather than just simply apologize and leave it there and then no one would talk about it again, he made it a headline for 2 weeks because he couldn't accept that. I mean, it's just like...
Oh, my God.
Yeah, presidents have lied. You know, there's Nixon, there's Andrew Jackson, there's everybody, right?
Yeah.
They all have their own scandals. They all have their own shady backroom deals. This guy can't tell that... He's such a pathological liar. He could lie about the color of something that's in front of you, and then he would defend it to his death.
Yeah.
He doesn't... Telling the truth is a foreign concept to him.
It really is. And I also love how he switches between saying... So he'll do these press conferences, and he'll go, oh, I was kidding. No, I don't kid. Like, with the Lysol thing, like, ingesting. He said after the fact, oh, I was joking. No one can read a room. And it was clear from the recording he was not joking. There was no, like, oh, haha, guys. But then he said, oh, yeah, with the coronavirus testing, we should just stop it so the cases will go down. And everyone said, oh, he's kidding. And he said, no, I don't kid. What is wrong with him? I don't know. It's really hard to, like, stand by and watch this. It's really hard to believe that there are people who, in light of all of this, still support him. But, hey, it is what it is, and I look forward to his defeat in November. Which, actually, bringing it back to his defeat, do you think there is anything that could come into play that would, you know, tip the scale where Biden would lose? Like, do you think...
I'm sure the Russians will try to do something again. But I'm not sure how much of an impact it'll make this time. There's not as many undecideds this time around, and a lot of people have already said they're not going to vote for Trump under any circumstance. Trump can't just simply win all the undecideds that are left. He'd have to actually win Biden supporters back at this point.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just hard to see it.
Yeah.
And, you know, another factor is among voters that hate both candidates, Biden's winning them by 50 points.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Trump won that demographic by about 20 points in 2016. Biden's winning by double that margin.
Yeah.
In polling. So the fact is Trump's not the outsider anymore. He can't run on a drain the swamp platform because he is the swamp, because he's the incumbent.
Oh, yeah.
And even though it was an open seat race 4 years ago, Hillary Clinton was essentially the incumbent because she was the one who was from Washington. She served in the administration for 4 years and had been in politics 3 years before that. Trump was a newcomer, so essentially he was the challenger and she was the incumbent. And people who were on the fence before Election Day decided to go for Trump. But that demographic is much smaller, and it seems like those who don't like either are going to go for Biden. Clinton had and Trump had among the lowest popular favorability ratings of any two candidates. But Biden's breaking about even in favorability. He's about 45-45.
Wow.
Whereas Trump is net, like, minus 15, I think, favorability. Yeah. Which is basically directly whatever his approval rating is the same as favorability.
So, pretty much, it's looking really good for our Biden boy.
Yeah, it is. And I don't see there being that much that's going to change it, but anything's possible.
Right. Because even with the state of the economy and coronavirus, I mean, Trump is going to have to just really pivot and change everything, which he's already shown. Like, he's not willing to change his stance. Okay, yes, in the last week he said yes to masks, but that was just because, I mean, it's crazy how poorly we're doing in respect to other countries, just the whole world. I feel like we're the laughing stock right now. We're a freaking first world country. We're developed. We have the technology, and we're so stupid. But we're led by a stupid person. I mean, I don't know. It's very frustrating. It's very embarrassing. But I have hope. Do you have hope?
Hope for what?
That's a good question.
No, I mean, like, what do you mean hope?
Hope. So in that moment, I was kind of talking generally or the state of the U.S. and as it relates to the coronavirus. But in that moment, I was talking about Biden getting elected.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I'm statistically very confident.
Yeah. Do you think that things are going to get much worse, though? Before?
I think coronavirus is probably going to get worse. The economy is probably going to stay stagnant. Black Lives Matter might start to peter out as people kind of get bored of it. But we'll have to see.
Yeah. Before we close this out with our closing remarks, Patrick, what is going on with the Republican convention, man? Are they really going to have it in person?
I say they are. They still haven't figured out which state is going to let them do it.
Right. But
of course, a bunch of Republican governors are like, oh, please have it here.
Right, but those are also the places that are currently... Also
the places that have the highest number of growing coronavirus cases.
Yeah. Also, Trump isn't doing any rallies anymore because of all this, right?
Well, he had the one in Oklahoma that was a complete failure.
Right.
So we'll have to see if he does more of those or if he gets the picture that he's going to keep embarrassing himself on TV if he keeps doing them.
Well, what's funny to me, and this is probably old news by now, there's so many other things that have happened. It was just, wasn't Penn supposed to do a rally of some sort in Florida? And he said, oh, well, I'm not going to cancel because of coronavirus. Absolutely not. You know, we don't care about that. And then they had a huge spike and he's like, oh, I'm canceling it. I just love how they change their stance, which is fine, but it's just funny that their stance wasn't initially based on scientific fact or like in consideration of the safety of the American people. Just does not seem to be at the forefront of these people's minds, and it boggles the mind for me. But anyway, and then Democrats, it's going to be virtual, right?
Well, there's going to be some people there, mostly just speakers, but the delegates, I think, will be virtual.
Okay, cool. And when is that? When are these? August?
August, yeah.
For both?
Yeah.
Okay. Gotcha. Well, Patrick, I think that this has been a really great kind of look into just how things are and where we're going. Do you have any kind of final thoughts or closing remarks?
Biden's probably going to win, but don't take that as an excuse not to vote.
For sure. Actually, yeah, let's turn this into a teaching moment. Please vote. If you're of the age of 18 or over, please register to vote. Make sure you're registered. Make sure your current address matches the one on your license. Vote. Dear God, that's all that this really depends on, right, Patrick? Is just making sure that everyone votes and comes out like we need them to.
Yep.
Yeah. So, with that being said, we hope you have a lovely and safe July 4th, and thanks for tuning in to HQAF Radio. That's the end of our show. This is your host, Alana Rippey. Be sure to follow us on Instagram at HQAF.productions. We post every other week, and you can find us on Apple Podcasts, Google Play, Spotify, or wherever else you get your podcasts. And until next time, the best ship to sail on is friendship.